Well, I'm going to be spending the next few Sundays. I shared that last Sunday. I'm going to be sharing the next few Sundays on the love of God. And just for a moment, this scripture came up in my heart this morning as I was getting ready to leave. And turn over to Matthew 24. Anybody who knows Matthew 24, it's just something that came up in my heart. I guess the Lord wanted to remind me of something. But Jesus is talking to his disciples, and on the Mount of Olives, and you can see the disciples said to him, you know, when shall these things be? What's the sign of your coming? What's the end of the world? And he goes down and he shares some things. He talks about wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom and so forth. And he talks about all of these things. He said, these are the beginning of sorrows. And then he said, verse 10, many shall be offended and betray one another and shall do what? Hate one another. No love, right? And then it says, many false prophets shall rise and many deceive many. And what is verse 12? And because iniquity shall abound, it says, the love of many shall do what? Wax cold. And that word love that we were talking about last Sunday, the love of God is referred to in the Greek as agape or agape, some say it, or agape. That's the noun. You know, when we have words, there's a noun, and then there's a verb, there's an action. And the verb is agapeo, but this word here is the love of God. It says, the love of God shall wax cold. Why? Because iniquity, people just getting into mess, getting away from God, not staying in the presence of God, moving away from God, iniquity. And, you know, sometimes we think of sin as all these things that we think are sin. Sometimes God says sin is just not loving me, not just staying in my presence, not seeking after me. That's sometimes we need to look at things from God's perspective. And so when you don't have the love of God in you, we see that in the world today. People are selfish. They're not caring about other people. And so we were sharing, and we'll start in a minute, but I'm just sort of reviewing. We were sharing last week that you can't love like God. You know, the world is only going to see God through his people. And so we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about smoochy, huggy, you know, phileo, you know, brotherly love. We're talking about the unconditional love of God, the nature of God. God is love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. He doesn't have love, he is love. And so when we talk about that, God says, the same way, even as I loved you, you love others. So that means the same way he loved us, we can love someone else. In Romans 5:5, it says, the love of God has been shed abroad, where? In our hearts, by the Holy Spirit. So we have his holy nature living in us. He's come to take up residence in me if I'm a brand new creature in Christ. He lives in me. So that means love lives in me. The love of God lives in me. Oh, well, then the next question is, how come I can't love like God loves? How come? I'm having a real hard time. I don't get along with people. Oh, well, okay. Well, it's in you. Then why isn't it activated? Why isn't it working? Right? Well, let me ask. So we're going to start there. You know, that was something that the Lord reminded me today. He said, you know, we can talk about all of this, and we say, that's great for you. That's great, but what about me? How come it's not working in me? How come if I'm to touch the world with his love, How many think that when they get touched, when God touched you with his love, did it affect you? Yes, it sure did. And when his presence is manifested, it affects us. When his presence is manifested, what's manifested? Love. So when his presence is there, the love of God is manifested. When we sense it. So let's turn. I'm going to get us over into 1 Corinthians, and we're going to spend the next 4 weeks, or last week was five, but we're going to spend a few weeks talking about the love of God. And 1 Corinthians 13. And today I'm going to start with verse 4. And I'm just going to cover verse 4. And love suffereth long. Well, I'm reading from the King James, but I'll touch on the Amplified. But let's join our hearts and believe. And as I was sitting here this morning in worship, the Lord was reminding me, and on the drive up here this morning, even for me personally, because we all are at various levels of spiritual growth, so that means we're all at various levels of faith in God. And so that means that our faith works differently individually, and it also for all of us. We may be working our faith in one area and getting good results, but then in another area, maybe not that good. You know, that's just like in life. You know, I may be shining over here in this area in my life, but this area we hide. We're not doing too good over here. And, you know, spiritually it's the same thing. So we need to find out, how do I get results in this area? And the Lord was reminding me this morning, the same way that you get good results or get his results in love is the same way you're going to get results in your finances. It's the same way you're going to get results in other areas of your life. It's the same way you apply your faith in the area of love. And he was reminding me of that this morning, because God's principles are the same. So 1 Corinthians, well, let's do this. I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians, but I want to start with John 3:16. Because this is important, foundationally, I guess you could say, where the love of God is concerned. And we're all familiar with this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever do what? Does what? Believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I like, there's a couple of other translations that I wrote down. The Bible in basic English, it says, for God had such love for the world. I like the way that's expressed. That he gave his only Son, so that whoever has faith in him may not come to destruction, but have eternal life. The Message Bible, it says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. So we can have a productive life, but you got to believe in Christ. And here's the thing. John 13:34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This is the King James. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love. That word is, again, agape. It's the noun portion, one for another. And it says in other verses or translation, it says, even as I have loved you, you're to love one another. Not kind of like. It says, even as. in the same way, you could say. And let me reference some other scriptures we were sharing last week, that the only way that you can love with God's love is if you have his nature, his love in you. And the scriptures in 1 John 4, it says, we know, it says, beloved, I'll read, this is 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is what? Born of God and knoweth God. So you cannot love with his love unless you have his nature, which means what? You've been born of God. That means you're a new creature in Christ. You've passed, as the other scriptures say in 1 John 3:14, we know that we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. So you're loving with his love because you've passed from death unto life. You have his nature in you. So this is the reason why we love. But, you know, when we read these scriptures, we go, oh, that's nice, that's great, but I'm not really doing that. So then the question is, how do I? And so I want to take a look. We're going to take a walk here this morning. And the love of God, as we said, is never expressed or acted upon to get a response. God doesn't love us to get a response. He loves us because that's who he is. He is love. And it's unconditional, meaning he does it not to get a response. And he doesn't say, well, they don't love me, so the heck with them. Then he would have never sent his son. Because when we were yet dead in sin, the scripture says, he sent his son. He loved us. So agape love is continues to give and give and give. And even if it's never responded to, thanked, or acknowledged, it's not based on a feeling, right? It's not based on a response. It's a decision. It's a decision that we make to love. And it's unconditional. What does that mean? No conditions. Unconditional means no conditions. If you do this, I'll do this. You know, like health plans. Preconditions. If you got this condition, you're not getting coverage. So, thank God our sin did not cause us not to be, or put us in a condition where we couldn't reach Christ. Christ came down, and it says, when we were yet dead in our sins, he did what? He died for us. He went to hell, paid for the sin, and then when that all the sin was paid for every man that ever was and ever will be, sin was paid and credited to our account. And that's why the Christian, as the scripture, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Those that believe will be saved. Those that don't will be damned. So we're to go out and tell people, not judge. You dirty sinner, this, that, and the other. No. We're to do what? Love people with the love of God and tell them God loves you. He's not holding your sin against you. Why? Because it's been paid for. It's already been paid for. All you have to do is accept him and what he did, and you'll be saved. Isn't that good news? That's good news. So I want to look again. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. And there are, if you count them, which I did, there's 15 what we call characteristics of the love of God, which is written here, starting in verse 4. Let me read it in the King James. It says, charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. I still don't know what that word means. I have to look it up. We don't really know some of these old English words. Yep. And charity is not puffed up. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity seeketh not her own. Charity is not provoked. Charity doesn't think evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity believes all things. Beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So I want to look at these 15 characteristics, and we're going to look at three of them today, possibly four. And some of this material I'm referencing from a book called Sparkling Gems by Rick Renner. He's a Greek scholar. This is not going to be a scholarly lesson, but what it is going to be is referencing some of the material that helps us to understand more in what we would understand in modern vernacular, just what this all means. So the first characteristic is charity suffereth long. And this particular word, suffereth, is actually made up of two Greek words that when they're compounded together, it's actually made up of one word the translation is long, and one means anger. So when it's compounded together, it means to be of long spirit, not to lose heart, to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging, to be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish. It is patient restraint of anger. That's really what this means. Patient restraint of anger. If you're long-suffering, you have patient restraint to get even with somebody. Or you're long-suffering. It can also be translated forbearance or patience. So it's another way we look at it. It's like a candle with a long wick. It just keeps burning. It don't burn out. And in the natural, some people have, I put it this way, just because of your personality and your makeup, maybe the way you were raised, maybe you were raised around people with short wicks that did a lot of screaming and carrying on. Maybe your personality, you're able to withstand things a little longer than others. People do. Their personalities are different. That doesn't make it right or wrong. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the love of God that helps us to withstand and not, be more patient and forbear with people longer than we normally would. I know I've heard people say, you're softening me a little bit. And that softening is actually the love of God working in you to allow to work with people longer than you normally would. Normally you'd say, I cut them off. Right? Either with my tongue or I just walk out and leave them high and dry. But the love of God will soften your heart to do what? Be more patient with people. Be more tolerant. Let your wick burn a little longer, as they say in the natural, right? So it's ready to forbear, patiently wait until, let's say here, this is the way Rick Renner wrote this. He said, we're patiently wait until a certain person finally comes around. You know how people are. I've had it. Or they do this. The hand goes up, and that's it. I'm done. Right? Because, you know, the flesh is not tolerant with people. You know, everybody will tolerate, you know, some tolerate longer than others. But everybody, I don't care who you are in this room, everybody has that intolerant button. They're like, eh, that's it. I'm done. Because why? The flesh is not redeemed. And it will just reach a point where it's like, I'm finished. I've had enough. But guess what? The love of God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, I've had enough with them jokers. That's it. He doesn't do that. He'll say, I've been waiting for 35 years for you to change. Or 40 years, or 50 years, or 70 years. He waits right up until we leave this earth to correct things. That's long suffering. And we can do that. And so this is what he's saying. He's saying we can wait on people to finally come around or make progress or change or hear what you're trying to communicate or teach to them. Parents do it all the time. They're waiting on children to change and they're 50, still acting like they're 20. And parents do what? Because they do what? They love their children, and so they will do what? Forbear with them. They'll tolerate things where their children are concerned. Oh, so we can tolerate goofiness from our children, but we can't tolerate some goofiness from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we can. You just choose not to, right? But that's what the scripture says. The scripture says we know we love the brethren because we've passed from death unto life. So we can love one another if we decide to. See, faith will never produce a feeling. He that cometh unto God, Hebrews 11:6, says what? Must believe that he is. You don't say, well, I believe that he is because I feel him. You're never going to feel him. He's here. And you have to believe that he is, and he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to believe. Here I'm going to step over into this a little bit. How do we get the love of God? If the love of God is already shed abroad in me, God's taken up residence, then how do I get the love of God to work in me? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. If you look at Romans chapter 5, just jump over there for a minute. Go over to Romans 5 and look at verse 1 through 5, because this 5 lands on the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But look at verse 1 in chapter 5. I'll wait a moment. It says, therefore, being justified, that means declared righteous. That means that you've been declared right with God. How are you declared right with God? What does it say? By faith. So not how you felt. So you had to believe that what God said, because that's what faith is. Faith says, I believe what God said. I have to have faith in the will of God. So God said, I've declared you righteous. I've did this. and this and this. And so this says here, what's the scripture say? It says this in 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So if we know the will of God, and we ask him something, and believe, we receive. So this says here, we've been made justified by faith. And we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, I like that, access by faith. So we can, you know, in the natural, you can't hack stuff today without a password and people misappropriate. So we can hack into the grace of God by faith. So God gives us access into this grace by faith. So let me ask a question. If we're justified by faith and we have access into grace by faith, then how do you think the love of God is activated and released in our life? By faith, not a feeling. You have to choose to believe that, first of all, think about this. If you look at Jesus' ministry, it talks about in Luke when he was teaching on the Sea of Galilee and he was in a house and they let down this man with palsy on a bed, four let him down. It said the presence of God was present to heal. And many did not get healed. Most. Because why? They didn't believe that the power was present. So they didn't receive it. So you've got to believe, first of all, in order for something to work in your life. If I walked over here and I said, here's some money, right? You'd have to first believe that it was. You'd have to believe that this wasn't paper and it was funny money. You just have to believe this is money. And you recognize it. First, you recognize it's money. And you said, okay, I'll do what? I recognize that. I'll take it. So it's the same thing. You have to believe that the love of God is in you. You have to believe, first of all, in order for something to work, you've got to believe that first it is. The love of God is in me in order for it to work. And then you have to believe what? That it's working in me. I've got to believe first that it's present. And then I have to believe that it's working in me. And I have to do that all by what? Faith. I can't see the love of God. I have to believe that it was God's will. And by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God revealed to Paul, the love of God is shed abroad in the heart of the person that has accepted me. I've taken up residence. So I have to believe that it is. And that he's present. And that he's working in me. If I do that, and I do what? I begin to say it. I begin to speak it. By faith, I begin to say, whether I feel it or not, I thank you, Lord, the love of God is in me. I don't feel it, but I know it's in me, you're in me, and the love of God is in me, and it's working in me and through me to love people. And when you get in hard spots where people just are ornery or you're working through something with someone, that's when you begin to say, I thank you that the love of God is in me. And it's working in me, through me, to help this person. That's how you activate faith, activates the promises of God. Faith activates love in you. Faith activates the healing power of God that's present. Faith activates finances that you want to come to you. Faith is the key here. I remember years ago, I've told this story many times. Years ago, I would dutifully put my money and my offering and my seed into the offering bucket for years. And I kept increasing. I upped it to 20%. I said, I want good seed going in. I took 20% of my gross salary, put 20%. I was going up 25%. And I was not seeing in the natural the results. And it bothered me. And I said, yeah, I hear everybody else saying they're, you know, getting blessed. I'm not seeing it. And it bothered me. And so in a time of prayer, when I was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And he spoke that to me because he knew exactly I would understand it. And I was not speaking the word over my seed or my finances, sowing into the kingdom of God. I wasn't doing that like I was speaking over my body. And I was getting results. And he knew I could connect the dots, as they say. I was getting results. I was speaking over my body all the time. Every day, whether I had symptoms or not, didn't matter. I would say, the word of God is working in me, driving out a sickness out of my body. Every cell, every tissue of my body functions in the perfection that God's made it to function in. When sickness and disease touches my body, it flees. I would just speak the word, speak it all the time. And I would get results. But I wasn't doing that over my finances. And guess what? I was getting nothing. Working hard, making money, but not seeing the increase. And so I immediately changed that and started to speak over my finances, and it began to change. Little by little by little, by little by little. And so I always share that if you're getting results in this area, apply the same principles over here because faith works. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. So you've got to speak what you believe. God has made us that way. So back, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but back to this. This is how Rick Renner, being a scholar, has rendered this particular verse, our charity suffereth long. He said, when Paul says charity suffereth long, his words could be rendered or translated, love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. I'll read that again. Love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. So agape love doesn't throw in the towel and quit. It's like a candle with an endless wick. It just keeps burning and burning and burning and burning, and it does not know how to quit. We may not have reached that. We all haven't reached that place, but we can reach a more perfected place in walking in love. And I guarantee you, this is the thing that the world will recognize about us that's different than anyone else. they'll recognize the love of God. So this is contrary to human nature. The love of God is not similar, it's contrary to human nature. Most of us will say, I'm sick and tired of waiting and believing. If this person doesn't come around pretty soon, I'm finished with this relationship. Whether that's a friendship, a marriage, you know, whatever it is, people reach these places where they say, I've had enough. I'm done. And yet, that's not what God does. So, are you in a relationship which is testing your patience? Are you ready to... Are you tempted to throw up your arms in exasperation? So, maybe you need a dose of the agape love of God released in you. One of the things, let me read some other translations here where it says in Romans 5:5, it says, where the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. One translation says, God has given us a love transfusion. The Johnson translation said, God's love fills our inner being through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So he's poured forth his love into our hearts, and it's changed us. So the word shed abroad, when we talk about the Holy Spirit being shed abroad, it just means to be poured forth, spilled out, discharged, something that's dispersed in abundance. So he's in us. And he's, most of us, it affects us. Now it just has to be developed. It has to be worked, as they say, right? It's in us, and it has to be worked. The next characteristic is charity, or agape, is kind. This means to be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. Human nature is selfish, so they want their stuff, and so they're really, most of us, I'm not saying it's hard, but when we reach certain situations, we're not as adaptable as we could be or should be. So when it says charity is kind, this word kind means to show kindness or use kindness. It just means to be adaptable or compliant. When agape love is working in your life, you don't demand that others be like you. Agape love bends over backwards to become what others need you to be for them. That's what agape love does. So the word kind portrays a willingness to serve and to change in order to meet the needs of others. This is completely opposite of selfishness or self-centeredness. So in other words, you know, you can look at these things in light of, you know, when I think about, you know, I was growing up one of seven. You know, my parents, you know, if you have a large family, you sacrifice. You don't put yourself first, you know, for the most part, you got mouths to feed and clothe and so forth. You're thinking of your children first before you. That's love. That's human love, but I'm talking about even in the church where the agape love of God is concerned, we can use some natural examples, but we put other people's needs first before ours. That's the agape love of God. I'm not talking about, and again, let's put it in perspective, we're not talking about ignoring your own responsibilities. We're not talking about that. We're talking about as God prompts you to, as God leads you or puts it in your heart to be concerned. You know, God's not, you know, sometimes people take these things out of context and just do goofy things. God leads us. He will put someone on your heart to help. And most times they're the ones that need the help. And so that's what this means. As God leads us, as God puts it in our heart, be open for God to lead you to help someone and to be concerned. So this is how Rick Renner translated this or rendered this. He said, love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. So this is what he's saying. So the Word of God, like when we say this, is like a mirror, and what's reflecting back into our lives? Are we seeing that in our lives? So we have to just look at that and evaluate, assess. This is the third characteristic. Charity envieth not. This word envy in the Greek is really from the word zealous. It means to burn with zeal, to be heated, or to boil over with envy, hatred, anger, to desire, earnestly pursue, busy oneself about themselves. But it says charity doesn't do that. It envieth not. So this portrays a person who's consumed with their own desires and plans. This is a person bent on getting their own way and willing to sacrifice anything and anyone to get it. They might be described as being ambitious or self-centered. They are so consumed with themselves that they don't think of the needs or desires of others. So we're so consumed about getting my own stuff that I'm completely oblivious to people around me. And you know what? That's exactly what the world thinks like. Be ambitious. Set your own goals. Do this. That's good, but not at the exclusion of thinking about other people. Anybody who goes back and forth to New York City, used to be, back in the 70s and 80s, if you took a bus down, you'd have to step over people, and that's what they would do. People would be laying homeless. They've cleaned that up in the city, but back in the 70s, am I right? You go through the bus terminal and the train station, and people just laying all over. You'd have to step over people. You don't see that now, but it used to be that way. And people laying in the streets, people just walk over them. Not even care, not even think about the needs of other people, right? So that's what we're talking about. Love is concerned. So this real agape love doesn't think of itself first, but thinks of the other person rather than itself. That's the love of God. And a lot of times people will say, how is that possible? How could I do that? In the natural, you can't. You can't. It's not possible. But remember I said, how do you activate the love of God in you? How can you stimulate and stir up the love of God that's already been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, by faith? Because this flesh wants its own stuff. It wants to be selfish. And if you yield to it, you'll just be on a path and just get your own stuff in life. But God wants us to reach out and touch people and be concerned about other people, not just ourselves. So this is how he renders this. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others possess. So God wants to work in and through us to be concerned and touch the lives of other people. The hurting, and those are the people that he wants us to touch. And be open, be yielded to God to do that. You may just put it on your heart to just get a meal or bake something or buy some clothes for somebody, and they need it. That's the love of God touching the lives of people. Not be so self-centered. When I share this, that for many years, when Pastor Clinton and Sarah oversaw, you know, they were the lead pastors, you could say, the founders and lead pastors. God put it in my heart to, you know, I had a corporate job, and I had a very good job, and wrote software and led teams, you know, where I was. And he put it on my heart to leave and come work for the ministry. And I had a good paying job. I didn't even ask when I came, and I'm glad I didn't, because when I found out, I took a deep breath. And I had put some money aside, you know, and that's basically what I lived on for a while until it ran out. But the point was, not that, but the point is that I came to be an assist, to help in whatever needed to be done in the ministry. And so for years, I never thought about me. I thought, what do they need? What can I do to lift the burden? What can I do to assist and propel the things in the ministry to push it forward? And that's what I thought. Now, I will agree. In this sense, I was single. I could do that. I didn't have other responsibilities. I didn't have a wife and children to think about. So I could put that first. And God knew that. So I'm not asking anybody to do that. I was led to do that, and I did it out of love. Love for them, love for the ministry, love for what God was doing. And that's what I'm talking about. I didn't put me first. And love does that. And love will do that in you to propel you to do something. And that's what he did. So you can't force that. You can't make that happen. You can't just do that because you'll fall flat on your face, number one. And number two, when you try to do that, you could, and do it not at God's direction, then it's just, it's off. See? So, love, what do we say? Love suffereth long, love is kind, and love envieth not. I'm just going to touch on this real quick. We'll pick up next week. Love, this word that we were talking about before. The old English, it says, vaunteth not. It really just means to be boastful. Here's really the way Rick Renner said this is the way it's translated. He said the word vaunteth in the Greek means a lot of self-talk. He said, in other words, a person who endlessly promotes himself and exaggerates his own virtues. He said, one Greek scholar has said that this word vaunteth is a person who's full of hot air. Another scholar has said this word refers to a windbag. Now, I'm not telling you to look at somebody and say, see, they're talking about you. No, this is, if it affects us and we're a windbag or we're full of hot air, then maybe we need to poke it and let the love of God fill us so that we can then inhale his love and be a demonstration of the love of God, right? So this word, it just means, vaunteth, just means to boast oneself or your self-displaying, right? And you're just talking about yourself all the time. So let me just read these again. This is these three verses that were translated here. Love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others possess. And I'll read this one, this last one here. Love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time, constantly exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important in the sight of others. So God loves, and he desires to love this world and people through us. And what does it say in John? John says that we're to stay connected to the vine. The branch has to stay connected to the vine. And that vine, what's the sap that's in the vine? Love. He is love. So if we stay connected, then the fruit that gets produced is going to be the love of God. And if you go over in Galatians, not now, but if you go over there, you can look at what the fruit of the human recreated spirit is. Love, joy, peace, and it goes on to all the others. So I desire, I know that you do, and I've asked, that we consider this. Read 1 Corinthians 13, 13 verses. Read it every day for the next 3 months. Just take the time out. Read it. If you got a smartphone, you can read it and listen to it. Just go to YouVersion or whatever you have. It'll play it. You can hear it and read it. 13 verses. Simple. Let the word of God get in you and then begin to just meditate on it. Begin to say with your mouth in faith, not because you feel it, but because you believe it. You believe that the love of God is present in you. And you believe that it's working in you. And you believe that as I go about my day, the love of God is leading me and guiding me to touch people and help people and be a blessing to people. Is that all right? One thing that I'll just close with this. Brother Hagin shared this before he went to heaven in 2003. He said this. He said, you need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. He went on to say that if you read 1 Corinthians 13 every day and not just read it, but walk in the God kind of love, he said that number one, you will find that sickness will flee away from you and your health will spring forth speedily. Number two, he said, you will find that the devil that has been harassing you and tormenting you will flee from you. See, love and hate can't stay in the same place. Neither can selfishness. Number three, you will find that the provision and financial blessing that you've been believing for will come. So this is what he said. You've got to do what? Number one, you've got to acknowledge that the love of God is what? Inside of us. It's already in us. And we've got to decide to act on it. We've got to believe that it's working in me and that I have to make a decision to act on it. And as you do, your body will grow healthy. Think about this. Is there sickness in heaven? Minister Joe was talking about that. We enjoy the presence of the Lord. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. And where God is and where his presence is and working, sickness has to go. Prosperity has to come. And sometimes we're looking for it in other ways and other things. And really, it's in the love of God. And it's in us. And as we operate and act in the love of God, these things will come into our lives. Healing and health, prosperity will come into our lives. But we've got to begin to say, God, you're in me. And you're living in me. And your love is in me. And it's working inside me to touch people. Amen. Praise the Lord.